views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Mums, a podcast focused on helping you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. One of the most challenging tasks for mums of young kids, or even those with older kids but that are involved in a variety of extracurricular activities, is to find time for themselves. It is absolutely essential that you do this, that you find time for you, if you want to be vibrant and powerful. Yet, it remains one of the biggest struggles. In January, I was listening to McLean Masterworks Prediction Week, which I absolutely love because she brings on different psychics, numerologists, channelers, astrologists, and so on each day for a week. And they all share information meant to guide us through that year. So this year, the message was so beautifully consistent. Now, it probably always is, but I don't remember how it was last year or the year before. I just remember bits and pieces. And this one just really struck me because every guest talked about the need for all of us to reclaim our personal power and focus our efforts on raising our vibrational energy through self-care, self-love, and self-nurturance. Things are changing, and it is really imperative we change with it. So the idea of focusing our energies on ourselves is an about-face for many of us, and it requires us to let go of beliefs that are tied to laziness, selfishness, decadence, and so on. So whether you choose to make the shift at this time or not, at the very least, I hope you will tune into the message that has been coming through for quite a while now. Carrying around a ton of stress, pushing yourself too hard, looking after everyone for yourself, or even totally looking outside of yourself for the answer is not helping you or the people around you. If this is you, you are modeling an unhealthy lifestyle to your child that could impact on their own health in the future, as well as impact what they expect from their life partner. Now, I've already mentioned in numerous other podcasts that when you look after yourself first, everyone benefits. So, assuming you agree with at least one of these ideas, let's move on to talking about how you can make this happen in your life starting today. A minimum of 20 minutes a day for self-care is a good starting point if you aren't practicing this already. Ultimately, at least an hour would be beautiful. On the other hand, if you can only find a moment here and there to make it work, then we'll take that as a place to start and call it a success, for at least the beginning, okay? The goal is to figure out a way to have some alone time and then to make a point of taking full advantage of this time. What you'll do in this time, well, that's up to you. It's whatever brings you pleasure, recharges your batteries, helps you feel loved, and raises your vibration. Include little things that make an ordinary few minutes special for you. So, you know, you might light a candle or play some music or sip a favorite drink. Although, a little warning, mind-altering substances can actually eliminate the benefit of self-care if you're doing that all the time. So you're going to watch that one when you choose your favorite drink. But things like walking barefoot outside on the grass or on the sand, or dancing for a few minutes, meditating, journaling, painting. These things are all up to you, what it is that brings you pleasure. So you want to sift through that. What's critical, though, is that you find the time. And that's what I want to help you with today, is give you ideas of where or how you can find the time. Because I know alone time can be a real struggle, especially if you're a single parent, or maybe you're married, but you're often on your own. I remember one woman in my parenting class whose husband was a long-distance truck driver. So he was away all the time. And even though she was married, she really was like a single parent. Or maybe if you're dealing with a child that has special needs, that is a place too where it can be very hard to ever get any time because you really can't leave them. And they might not be getting to a stage where they're independent and you can leave them alone because of their special needs. So most of these ideas can help when you have kids who need you and you do not have a partner to work with. If you do have an active partner, then this should be even easier for you to do. And you want to start by clearly asking for the help, because so often we don't. And remember, when you ask a dad to help, he's not babysitting. He's parenting, right? And so if you aren't already, you want to be asking for that help. It's perfectly fair. And then you want to be blocking out time for your own self-care and making it a priority. So let's start with two things that are critical to remember. All right, I've kind of alluded to them already, but when you're raising kids, first, everything you do or don't do is being recorded by your child, and it will later surface as patterns in their own life. So this means if you don't figure out a way to look after yourself first, to practice self-care, they probably won't be able to either, because you're modeling for them what things will be like when they're older. This is not a great thing to teach, because this knowledge resides in the subconscious mind, so they won't even consciously know. It will become a block. It will become something that they need to come to someone like me for help to get rid of. And you could actually change that right now. So that's the first thing. You are modeling who they are becoming. And the second thing is that part of your job as a parent is to teach your child how to survive when you're not around. So if you're always around and you're always doing for them, you're not doing your job. Now, I'm not saying this to be mean. I just want to remind you that teaching your four-year-old how to play quietly in a room for 10 minutes while you're occupied elsewhere is important. I know there are plenty of people who suggest that we must constantly watch and protect our children to keep them safe, but I have to respectfully disagree. Yes, we need to be smart about where we're leaving them and how we've helped them prepare to be alone, but beyond that, we are doing them a disservice when we won't let them out of our sight and we won't give them a chance to practice being alone. So, with those two things in mind, here are some ideas for finding time for you. First one, I'll call independence time. As I just mentioned, it's important that we teach our kids how to be alone. So a potential way to find time for you is to start training your child today for small amounts of alone time. With a young toddler, you might want to use a crib or playpen for containment, then move on to their bedroom or some other safe space, and you're going to limit it to very short amounts of time. Sometimes it even works to keep them in the same space as you, but to be clear on what you're doing. I had to do that often with my kids because I was running my business out of my home and my kids were right there with me. So here's a sample conversation. Let's say your child is 3 years old and you've already told them that you're going to practice something called independence time. You might choose a different word, but I would be very careful not to use words that might have an emotional charge. Like alone time might sound scary, okay? But if they understand that it's skill development time, if they understand they're learning something important, and independence time is a word they probably don't yet understand, but they'll know what it means if you have kind of explained it to them. So you might say to them, honey, it's time to practice being on your own for a few minutes. It's independence time. So you can stay in the room with me if you play quietly by yourself, or you can go to your room and play there until I'm done, which will be about 5 minutes. Which would you like to try? Now, I realize that this might seem like a stretch if your child is quite clingy or gravitates towards dangerous activity, and it's possible you'll have to wait until he or she's older. But at some point, this bridge will need to be crossed, so it is worth doing it with awareness. Now, if this feels like punishment to you, then you likely have a negative belief about being alone. It's worth it to learn how to let that belief go, as it's something you'll want to release in this lifetime for sure. Just the other day, I was listening to Brian Hurst. He's a psychic, and he spoke on this idea while he was channeling and was saying that there is a big difference between being alone and being lonely. So confidence, self-love, and a balanced ego will allow you to very comfortably be alone without ever feeling left out, lonely, or punished. Recognize this as your own issue if you feel you're punishing your child by asking them to spend some time on their own, and heal it so you don't pass it on to your own child. Okay? The second idea, education time. In line with this, oftentimes older kids are more than willing to help you out with childcare if you would ask them. You need to help create a safe environment, and then you trust them with the task. Now, asking them to help out for little bits like this does not make you a bad or negligent parent. It actually helps them with skills they'll benefit from throughout their life. Asking your 6-year-old to be on watch and sound the alarm should your 4-year-old decide to fry some eggs, for example, is teaching responsibility. So your 6-year-old's on duty, he lets you know, and you step in. So it might just buy you some time to recharge. This, of course, only works if you have more than one child and one is older than the other. I suppose you could do it with twins, too, if you have a very mature twin, but I'd be very careful there because you could create some animosity that you don't need in your house. The third idea is to fix your to-do list. It could be your to-do list is broken. So take a good look at the things on your daily to-do list that you insist must get done. Write them down and beside them put what would happen if you didn't do them, or cross off any that you know you could neglect and it wouldn't be a big deal. For example, if you didn't make a meal, your 2-year-old and you would not eat. So this is an important item. It needs to be on there. But if you didn't vacuum one day, that might not be a big deal. So you could set that one aside. Some people will say, oh, but the cat hair, the dog hair, whatever. But I'm just saying, there's sometimes things you can cross off of there. Interestingly, when you do this, and when you're really honest with yourself, you'll likely find at least a few things that are not as important as you might have thought they were, like the cleanliness of your house, doing laundry, the frequency of baths for kids. Those are often areas that have been internalized by mothers as top priority because those are things that you think make you a good wife, a good mother, a good housekeeper. In reality, there's a lot of flexibility around them. If you doubt this, try pretending that someone you love very much has become deathly ill. In order to care for him or her, you absolutely must strike several things off your already very full day. What would you cut out? It's sad, but it often takes an exercise like this. Too frequently, it can happen in real life. But it's this kind of exercise that makes us sit up and take notice of what's really important, of what are the things that we can live without, or at least live without doing every day. So give this a try and see if the world comes to an end because the laundry isn't done, or you know, the dishes are sat in the sink overnight. If it comes down to being a woman with a clean house or one who practices self-care on a regular basis, the one looking after herself first will win every time. The fourth idea, create a support system. Strike up friendships whenever possible with other adults who seem similar to you in needs, and set up an exchange program. So if you help me out once in a while, I'll return the favor for you. This can also be done with neighborhood teenagers who don't mind doing good deeds for others. Some even need to do volunteer hours for school or church or things like that. Sometimes local seniors, neighbors, people that you meet through groups that you belong to, like church or playgroups or community clubs, all of them often would enjoy being asked to help. So unfortunately, most of us have been taught that asking for help is a sign of weakness or makes us indebted to that person. The truth is, many people love kids and enjoy being around them. So asking them to help you in exchange for a reference letter, a volunteer credit, time away from their lonely apartment can be exactly what they're looking for. This does not make you a bad parent. It actually models creativity, ingenuity, and community development. So creating a support system you can count on is well worth the effort. Family, friends, neighbors, and other parents you meet at playgroups can all become part of this system. A good support system doesn't need to cost money if you can come up with a barter system that works for you both. The fifth tip that I want to share, the final one for today, is to change your wake hours. I cringe just saying that because I know how often parents, moms especially, give up their sleep time in order to get other tasks done. Sleep is super important. It is part of your self-care. So I'm not suggesting you give up even more. But on the other hand, a well-planned out hour before bed can set you up for a better night's sleep and create a routine that really feeds your soul. Now, there may be no way that you can stay up any later than what you already do. You might be able to adjust your wake time a little and give yourself an extra 30 minutes in the morning. My sister was just telling me the other day that she chooses to get up at 4:15 a.m. so that she has time for herself to meditate and things like that, rather than get up at 5, because then she's in her deepest sleep and she's really groggy and it's really hard for her to get up. So the trick with this idea is to either use an app on your smartphone, or you can try consciously telling yourself that you want to wake up at the best time for you before your alarm so that you can wake up feeling awake and rested. Now, here's the trick then. When your eyes pop open and you look at the clock and you see it's 20 minutes before your alarm, or maybe it's even an hour before, you have to get out of bed instead of turning over and thinking, oh, thank goodness, I have another 20 minutes to sleep. We sleep in 90-minute cycles. And if you happen to have your alarm set in the REM sleep cycle, then you are going to feel really groggy and sleepy, and it's going to be really hard on you. So if you're finding that part to be a real problem, then you might want to play around with what time you're waking up. Whether you decide to do something before you go to bed, staying up a little bit later, or early in the morning, in both of these cases, the secret is to really plan the time. Don't just leave it to chance, because anything around sleep is at risk of being ditched. Okay? So what are you going to do during this time to recharge your batteries and to help you have the best day or the best sleep, if it's just before bed, possible? If it's an evening routine you're creating, an idea might be to light a candle or a fire if you have a fireplace and gaze into it in meditation with calming music playing in the background. You might write in a gratitude journal during this time, sip on an herbal tea. I'd stay away from caffeine unless you know for sure it doesn't affect your sleep. You might do some simple stretches. You might take a warm bath. You might read. Whatever you decide is up to you. Just make sure that it's conducive to sleep, and you come up with ideas ahead of time. So you do not want to do your workout at that time. That will get everything going and you will have a heck of a time falling asleep. If you don't create a plan, you're quite likely to plop yourself down in front of the TV, or even worse, you might just continue on with your daily tasks. So I just have to do the dishes, and I got to do this, and I got to get that done before I go to bed. If it's a morning routine, you could do your best to wake up naturally without an alarm, or take some time to move your alarm around, as I already mentioned, to find your best wake-up time. Typically, you'll want to schedule in a few things that get you moving and wake you up fully in the first part of your routine. So it's a good idea to wash your face or shower, do some light exercises. You can go walking outside. Of course, if you're the only one home and your kids are sleeping, you might not feel comfortable doing that, so then don't, okay? But these are all great ways to ensure that you're fully awake. A cup of hot water with lemon squeezed into it is a great way to get your system moving and to support your liver, so that will help you feel more recharged. I use a full spectrum light at this time to help strengthen my circadian rhythm and wake me up fully. Because the light is so bright and my eyes have to be open in order to benefit from it, I like to read 10 pages of a book, which takes about 20 minutes, same amount of time I'm supposed to sit with this light on. And then I complete a short journaling process that allows me to wake fully up. I follow that with a guided meditation. And I do that because a guided meditation has a greater chance of keeping me awake. If I try to do my own meditation, I might fall asleep. And if I do fall asleep during a guided meditation, typically when it ends, even if it's the sound of the computer clicking it off, that's enough to wake me up. So, you know, you have to play around with it and decide what works for you. If you can only squeeze in little moments throughout the day, so there's no way you can get up earlier or go to bed later. And honestly, if you're getting less than 7 hours sleep, you for sure don't want to do that. So then, and none of these other ones are going to work. Maybe you work really long hours, plus you've got all these other duties, then opt for those little stolen moments. Sprinkle in things that bring you pleasure wherever you can fit it. Light a candle if it's safe for you to do so on the dinner table, for example. Keep your journal in the bathroom. When you go in there, take a few minutes to contemplate. Fully immerse yourself when you're in the shower. I've talked about that in living in the moment. But just really immerse yourself in what you're doing. Hum while you're preparing a meal. Humming has a beautiful way of recharging us in an interesting way, I think. You can lose yourself in open-eyed meditation while you do the dishes. This is especially effective if you have a window that you can be looking out. It's totally up to you what this time looks like. What's absolutely critical, though, is that you find the time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others, rave about it on social media, and give it a positive review. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Living in the present moment is not a new idea. But in recent years, we've certainly started to hear more about it. Seize the moment, live in the now, the present moment is all you have. In fact, I have a slogan right here in my office. It's on a banner that my son gave me for my birthday a few years ago. And it says, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. Phrases like these can be found all over the place. In fact, that one has been made into a country music song. And yet in reality, few of us are actually living in the moment. Now, intuitively, you probably know the powers in the moment. I mean, if you've ever found yourself anxiously awaiting something like a presentation, a performance, a test, a sports event that you're in, even a tough conversation with someone else, you probably found that you played it over and over in your mind. You might have even practiced it aloud, right? But you know that the actual moment is the only time that really, truly counts. Sure, the practice might have resulted in it going more smoothly. You might have done a better job. You might have thought things through more. But it's only the present moment that allows it to really happen and be over. And of course, you know that you can't go backwards in time, at least not in our current reality. So if you've done something that you really wish you hadn't done, or you've had something happen in your life that you would really rather erase, you know intuitively that you really can't do this. For most of us, where we are at right in this moment in time is all we've got. And yet, how often do you really take advantage of this? Be honest. If you're anything like me, it's probably not as often as you'd like it to be, which means that you're giving your power away on a regular basis. Wasting energy thinking about things that have already happened, pining for what you wish had happened instead, even spending a large chunk of your time in the future, waiting for tomorrow to get here, are all drains on our actual power. Several years ago, I read a brilliant status update on Facebook by Randy Gage. And he said, "You better not wait for tomorrow, because when it gets here, it's going to be today." The concept is so simple and self-explanatory, and yet taking full advantage of this moment right here, right now, is still so evasive. So let me share one simple tool that you can use to start plugging this drain and taking back your power if this is a problem for you. How often do you wake up and immediately start filling your head with your to-do list, or even worse, your worry list? Believe it or not, even waking up excited about your day and immediately going to your to-do list is stealing the power of that beautiful moment. So instead, what if when you wake up, you took a few deep breaths, stretched a little to get the blood and oxygen flowing through your body, and then luxuriated in the comfort of whatever you're sleeping on? Now, obviously, if what you're sleeping on is not comfortable, skip that part. Okay, the point is to start awakening all your senses and really notice how nice it all feels. Now imagine if you actually took the time to have a candle or an essential oil dispenser close by emitting a smell that you really love, having a picture nearby that makes you smile or fills you with dreamy ecstasy, having sounds around you, whether it's the birds chirping naturally or a CD, music of some sort, things that you love to listen to. Your senses are the ticket to being in the moment. If you take the time to set your sleeping quarters up ahead of time to help you fully awaken your senses, you can wake up in the moment. Now, in truth, a couple of minutes of this would be awesome, but I get it. This is not always possible. So even a couple of seconds will do if that's all you can fit in, all right? The key to this working is that you really need to do this with a quiet mind. So if you're like billions of others and a quiet mind is not an option for you, give your brain a task. Plan ahead with what you'd like to think, and if necessary, jot them down on cards by your bed so you don't have to go into full think mode to come up with them. So present moment thoughts could be things like, "I wonder what beautiful things are going to happen to me today," or "I'm so grateful for," and then going through some of the things you're grateful for. That picture, that candle, my pajamas, this new day, whatever. Now, here's the thing. Be really careful not to just jump through a gratitude list, or in the first example, to start daydreaming about the day ahead. Your goal is to feel the gratitude. Get into the wonder, the enthusiasm of your day. Feel those feelings while listening, seeing, and feeling the beauty around you. In summary, tomorrow's a flirt, but today is a keeper. So your goal is always to imbue whatever beauty and wonderment you can into the moment you are experiencing right now. Amazingly, the more you do this, the more beautiful these moments will become, and the more common they will be in your life. There is no time like the present. This moment holds all the power. Tomorrow isn't coming, but today is here and is completely willing to make something beautiful happen with you.